keep coming in and turning back to walking that bed. There's shack in the door, and finally goes they drive. And the form of the horse they pass, he is like the Son of God. Thessalonians chapter 5.
And I hope you take a moment, stop by our ministry table, pick up one of our prayer cards back there, get one of our new pictures.
Amen.
And that's the whole crew. Everybody but Tim, we haven't decided if we're going to put him on there or not. But actually, Laura Lynn, our 6 month old, I think she's 7 now, right? She's got one. Yeah, 7 months old. Growing up quick, so we're going to get a new picture of her. Of course, looks like we might be having Tim on there too. That's for sure. Appreciate him and the family, everybody being here today. But yeah, stop by there. Of course, our new CD is the 25th anniversary CD. And some of these new songs we've been singing, maybe you haven't heard, are on there. And you can take that. Remember us, remember to pray for us. And that means a lot. Him came up, we made him. Cowboy. Well, he did a good job hanging up that cowboy on the Bronx right here and gave it to me and said, Cowboy Walker, Ranger Walker on there. He says, now every time you see that, you're supposed to be praying. Buried in the back of the church.
Amen.
I said, okay. Every time I see it, that's what I do. And that's a blessing to know that you got people praying for you.
Amen.
Pulling for you. And that's for sure. We appreciate your prayers and support and welcome giving so we can go and do what we do. And God's given us good to harvest the souls here this fall. We'll be all up and down the west coast here through Thanksgiving. And we'll be in some big churches, small churches, and hoping to have a harvest of souls. That's for sure. Oh, well, preacher, did we find out how many got saved today?
13.
Amen. Yeah. 13 got saved today, that's what's died.
Yep.
And praise the Lord for that. Some churches just see only they might be seeing that many saved in a year. Well, we had that many saved in one day.
Amen.
And thank the Lord for soul conscious church members, and that's for sure. All right. Well, appreciate all your help and hard work and get things tore down and packed up and up and make things happen, fixing the hot dogs and inviting people. And we see all the visitors, several families that came in. There's several from the places that we visited yesterday that came out and really seemed to enjoy the service. And so thank you for making them feel welcome and home. And, you know, people will come back if they feel connected.
Yep.
They'll feel, you know, if they feel accepted and if they feel wanted. And I trust that you'll go right after them now, after they've been here, and you'll be looking for them and seeing them and visit them. And it'll take some work. You know, most people are in church because family members, they got family, or they got friends, you know, that's why they come. And so people that just walk in the door and just show up is great. You know, we've had folks do that through the years. And they just show up. But most of the time, they've got some connection there. And so these brand new ones will come in. We're going to try to connect with them. And so I hope that you'll do that and be friends to them. And one lady I spoke to, I had her two kids. She said, I used to come here years ago. The kids were real little. And they just kind of slip away sometimes, don't they?
Yep.
So I just come back and she really enjoyed it. That's like she would. And so we hope so. Let's stand together, shall we? We'll jump right into the Word of God here this afternoon. And you be praying for us. We'll be headed over to Hamilton, Montana, and then we'll go up to Missoula, and over to Pasco, Washington, and then, like I said, down through California, and then we'll head back to the ranch for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then we'll go down to Florida, and on and on. So you be praying for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 19. That verse says, quench not the spirit. That's a capital Q. Quench. Okay? Not the spirit. Of course, that F is a capital S, referring to the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? And so, man, we're not supposed to, it literally means to extinguish. Okay? I'm not supposed to put it out as though it was a fire. Okay? So this fire is a picture of the Spirit of God going on. Now, look over in James, if you would, in chapter 4. And we'll look there in verse number 13. Kings 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It's about the prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Challenge us from it now today. Speak to us. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for the decisions made. Thank you for every soul that was saved. I pray that you would continue to bless, and we'll praise you and thank you for it all. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments here this afternoon on don't let the fire go out. The Bible says that he says, quench not the spirit. So we want to put it out. We want to keep the fire going. My son Joe has dealt with fires before. He likes fire. And he used one of his jobs whenever we would help him to the camp and work for Chad when he was guiding out there and on the ranch. And the boys would tend to Camp Jack, you know, and they'd take care of the fires and stuff. So the fire would stove Joe followed that, you know, for the weather. I mean, in all that ash, there is some embers in there. So he took his jacket, put on the stove, you know, and then that night the wind picked up, and those strong winds began to blow across those coals. Next thing you know, that fire relighted. If I remember correctly, I think you might even stoke it with some logs during the morning, so we'd have a fresh fire there. He thought it was that. But it wasn't that. Those coals were still burning. You know? So those winds, of course, the picture of the Holy Spirit is the wind. You know that? We read John and teaches about the Holy Spirit. It's like a wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effect of the wind. So that wind was blowing, and it stirred up those coals, and next thing you know, that fire was ablazing. And we're sleeping. We're out. We've been working all day. And all of a sudden, Chad and I woke up simultaneously with a tent full of smoke. With his jacket. Like, Lord, what in the world was it? And we raised up and looked, and there on the stove was Joe's coat. And he had taken his coat, a little Carhartt coat, you know. I forget, how old were you back then? Probably about 3 or 4 years. But no, it was Carhartt coat. And he was laying on that coat. We got up and ran out and grabbed that jacket because we saw it was just a smoke like crazy and threw it out there in the yard. And we was coughing and spitting and everything. And, man, it was horrible. That was quite a sight. It scared all the elk and the deer out seeing these four hunters out there in their sleeping attire. You just imagine as you see fit. But anyway, we're talking, man, it's just, how the hell did that happen? I thought the fire was out. Well, it wasn't out. It was. Those embers were still going. Amen. And he picked up his jacket and had a big old hole, right? And so Chad felt sorry for him, bought him a new jacket, gave it to him and everything. But you know what? I don't want the fire to go out. And if the fire doesn't go out, it's because you're doing something to keep it going. Yeah. And so today, like what happened today, and all the visitors coming, and all those people getting saved, that's something that we need to keep going, don't we? Yeah, you don't want to let it go out. You know, some churches, they say, well, this is our evangelistic effort this one time of the year, and now we're off the rest of the time. Oh, no, we're supposed to be on. Well, we just put some extra effort in to this weekend to really try to work to get some people saved. So I don't want the fire to go out. You should want the fire to go out. You should want your spirit from the Lord to dim or diminish, that's for sure. And so, man, we've got to do everything we can. Keep the fire going. I said, man, I tell you what, whether it be you use the Word of God and you use going to church and using, listening to preaching and singing and giving and witnessing, and you do all those things and it keeps you going. You keep the stove soaked up with some wood. You keep the damper right. You keep the airflow going through there, and you're going to have a continual fire. But you got to work at it. You can't just leave it. You can't just stop it and go away.
Right.
If you got a church that's on fire for reaching people, it's because somebody is stoking it.
Right.
Somebody's fanning the flames. Somebody's working it. And so if you're excited for the Lord, and man, you're smiling, and you're on the soul winning trail, you're being so conscious, you're passing out tax even through the week, like on Tuesday. But it's not even church day. And it's not even witnessing day, like Thursday. In fact, some people think Thursday and Saturday is the only time you can witness to the Lord. Oh, Lord, it'll be all the time.
Amen.
And so you keep that fire going. You keep working it. And we're going to, he says, quench not the spirit. Don't let it go out. Don't let it dampen. And it's because you got to work at it. This is only says, man. Well, Brother Walker, how in the world do you keep going? How in the world do you keep, doing this everywhere you go? Well, you've got to work at it. You keep the fire going. You know, I can be excited at this church. What I do if I'm in a church that's running thousands or running 25. Man, we're just going to keep the fire going. We don't want to let it go out. We don't want to leave it alone. I don't know about you, but I want to finish strong. But I don't want to sit there. What is your life? It's just a vapor. So I want to keep going. He said, have you ever thought about maybe settling down, maybe like taking a church and pastor? Now, why would they say that to me? Like I said, it's vacation. It's like, okay, you're on the front line doing the baggage, and then you go take a church where you can just kick back and just not do nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. Now, I'm thinking, what are you talking about? When people say stuff like that, it just shows me they don't have any idea of what a pastor does.
Amen.
They don't really have any idea of what a working evangelist does. Okay? It's like, no. I'm going to keep doing what God told me to do. I'm going to keep soaking the fire. My life is like just a vapor that vanishes away after a little bit of time. And so that's why Paul said, man, I'm going to finish strong. He says, I'm going to press towards the mark. He says, I'm going to keep going. That's a good way to be, is to finish strong. Oh, that's your desire. And I tell you what, and one way to finish strong is to keep the fire going. If you don't keep the fire going, if you don't keep the excitement, if you don't stay yielded to the Spirit of God, it's going to go out. It's going to go down. Tim Tebow is a former quarterback for the University of Florida. And he was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was not unconscious in the game against the University of Kentucky in September 2009. And his limp, lifeless body lay motionless out there on the field for several minutes. Everybody all disconcerted and everybody was wondering. And his first words to his coach, okay, Urban Meyer, who had Tim's head cradled in his lap, were this. He said, did I hold on to the football?
Those
are the first words.
That's right, brother.
Every quarterback, okay, so he gets sacked, not unconscious. And so he's thinking, did I fumble the ball?
Yep.
Or did I hold on to the ball? And his coach told him, he said, his answer, of course, was the affirmative, yes. And then Tebow went to his coach and smiled real big. He was glad he didn't fumble the ball.
Right, amen.
You know what? That ought to be your desire.
Yep.
I don't want to fumble the ball.
Good.
I want to hold on to it. I want to take it across the finish line. One day your life's going to be over for you.
Yep.
And you're going to wake up in the presence of the captain of our salvation. Okay? And our team, okay, as Christians, our goal ought to be able to hear the Lord say, you didn't fumble the ball. You did good. You might have got knocked down, but you got back up. Oh, yeah. And of course, when you got back up the track, they were so happy and everything. See, you got to be on guard because the devil has a variety of defenses set up against you. And he's going to constantly be trying to slow you down,
yep,
trying to stop you, trying to snatch the ball, trying to squish, put out the fire. Okay? And so we can't just lay down when we get knocked down. We gotta get back up. We gotta keep going. Our resolve ought to be like Job. Though he slayed me, yet I will trust in him. I'm just gonna remain faithful.
Yeah.
And Apostle Paul was that kind of a fighter and a finisher to the end. He reminds Timothy, he says, man, I fought a good fight. He said, I kept the faith. And I helped us to be able to have the goal in sight and have the finish line in sight and have that kick of energy. You say, man, I want to keep going. I don't want the fire to go out. I want to finish strong. I want to finish well. He was on board the Titanic. And he was a preacher. And his name was John Harper. And he was sailing on this maiden voyage of that infamous ship that most everybody knows or heard about, Titanic. And he was an evangelist from Scotland, and he was headed for America. And this dear man of God had preached a series of meetings in the renowned Moody Church. Most of you probably heard of D.L. Moody. He pastored a great church in Chicago, and he was a forerunner of the modern bus ministry. Before they had buses, he had horses and wagons
right.
that he would take through the cities and would pick up boys and girls and bring them into church. And it was the forerunner of the bus ministry. And they called him Crazy Moody because he had such a heartbeat to reach kids. And he would get on their level. And in fact, he was made a statement at the end of his life. He said, if I had my life to live over, I would dedicate it to reaching the youth.
Amen.
Wow. That's no small business.
Yep.
If you're a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker and you're working with the youth, and I tell you what, you're doing a great job.
Amen.
So he was going to preach there at the Moody Church in Chicago in 1911. And he was returning and he was going to preach in that pulpit a series of revival services. And he had just recently preached a series of meetings in England, and that's why he was now on board the Titanic as one of those passengers bound to the United States. A gentleman was by the name of Dean, was one of the survivors of the Titanic. And he relates the following story. And these are his words. He said, after the sinking of the ship, he and Mr. Harper both found themselves floating in the middle of the Atlantic, clutching tightly to some pieces of the wreckage. Dean was unsaved and knew that he was about to die and was unprepared to meet God. And suddenly, a wave pushed Evangelist Harper into his path. And Harper cried out to the man. He says, man, is your soul, is it saved? And here he is floating in freezing water, holding on for his life. And he's thinking, I wonder if that guy's going to wake up in heaven or hell. I wonder if that's going to save. And so he cried out to him, is your soul saved? And Dean answered, it's not. Harper replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Aye, at this hour, thou shalt be saved. And the ocean currents took Harper away. But in a few moments again, as fate would have it, the waves brought Mr. Harper back to Mr. Dean. And once again, he cried out, are you saved? He said, no, God help me. King replied, with a weaker voice now, Harper declared, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, though you drown. Mr. Dean related that all of a sudden, the wreckage that Harper was clinging to broke, and the advance went down. And he came back up one last time, and his last words were, I'm going down. And he says, no, I'm going up. And at that moment, Dean cried out in the night, Christ, I believe on thee. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a lost sinner. Later, Mr. Dean was reached by a rescue boat, and he was saved, body and soul.
Amen.
Dean shared this amazing testimony of God's grace and his providence in various places and churches around the country. In fact, the Reverend Phil of Philpott, pastor of the church in Ontario, Canada, wrote it down and sent it to John Harper's brother, Reverend George Harper, who is a pastor also. He read it to the assembled audience at a convention in 1916. And of course, the story has been told and told and told down through the ages. And as it is titled, John Harper's Last Thunder. Here he was. An evangelist. He was going down. He was about to meet death, and the last thing he did was help get somebody saved on their way to heaven.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what a way to go.
Amen.
Even when he could have been so concerned about himself, even when he could have been so consumed thinking about his family that he was leaving behind, and all the other thoughts in the Flynn's mind, he immediately focused on that man's soul, whether he was going to go to heaven or hell. Oh man, what a way to finish strong. John Harper finished strong. Paul, he finished strong. Hey, help us. Lord, help us not to fumble the ball.
Amen.
Help us to finish out what he's called us to do. Oh man, I tell you what, that's a way to go. Man, if you had your life to live over, all of us would probably go back and change some things. But we don't have the ability to rewrite history. All we can do is from here on out say, man, I'm going to, from this point on, I'm going to be faithful. From this point on, I'm going to live every day as though it's my last. Oh yeah, if I want to finish strong. I don't want the fire to go out. I want to keep going. So what happens here today, keep going.
Right.
The souls that got saved today, that he's invited, keep going after them. Huh? And don't let that die. Because if that dies, and if a Christian becomes unconcerned with getting people saved, the thing that's nearest to the heart of God, they're just going to shrivel up and die spiritually.
Yeah.
A church that's not on the goal of the gospel trying to get saved, if they lose that, man, let's praise God. That's one thing this year is not lost through all these years. From when I remember when we come back from the Philippines, and he was wore out. And he told me this story after it happened. He got a phone call from a nurse at the hospital about the old boy that was dying. And he says, we've been witnessing, the nurse said, we've been witnessing this man. We've been trying to get him saved. And the preacher, who could have easily said, I was snapped wore out. We flew 18 hours halfway around the world after all those meetings, and we saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved. And he comes in totally exhausted, he's having a faith, okay, I gotta be ready to get in the pulpit. And here he is, he gets a phone call. He's thinking, oh, are you kidding me? What'd you do? He doesn't say, well, nurse, I can't come, I'm tired. I'm in the Philippines. We've got all these people saved, we've got all these great things. No, no. You know what he does? And he goes home, gets dressed, goes to the hospital. The last thing he felt like doing, but he was compelled of the Holy Spirit to go, because the nurse said, we don't know how much time this man had. And he goes down to the hospital, and what happened? Another soul gets saved. Hey, I guarantee you, that old boy was glad that the preacher got up and he didn't feel like going.
Amen.
And could have easily said, made an excuse, and everybody would have understood. But if he would have, that man very well would have died, split hell out of him. Oh, man, what a way to go. What a way to finish. Man, keep on going. Don't stop. Don't retire. Just keep retreading. And keep that fire going. You'll be glad that you did. And may the Lord say, wow, you finished well. And here just you know, have any patience. I know you're tired. Like me, we'll all sleep good tonight. But you know what we're going to do? Number one, we'll say, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
For what you did.
Amen.
Thank you for a preacher in a church that is willing to sponsor an event like this and make it happen and do all that was done to help get people saved. We can thank the Lord for that. And then we can say, Lord, you know, I want to finish well. I want to be faithful. I want to keep going to the end. Just like Aaron Harper did, may that inspire us to do the same. That's our prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray you help us to be faithful. Help us, dear God, to it's not to let the fire go out. And Lord, we would take, Lord, what's happened here today and this weekend. Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, just keep it going. And Lord, we would keep the fire burning. Lord, help us to do that. We can't do it without you. And Lord, I pray that these folks who are here today, no doubt there are some that was not saved, and they heard, but they've not made a decision. I pray you help us go after them. Help us to have the boldness and courage to be able to reach them and see them saved. We pray your will be done in this matter. Now, the pianist is going to begin to play a personal invitation song. Let's all stand together as heads are bowed and eyes closed. If you want to leave your seat, come down to the old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, thank you for what you did today. Thank you for the souls that were saved. Each 13, will you come? Maybe you just might want to come down and say, Lord, I just want you to know I want to finish strong. Lord, I want to fumble the ball. Lord, I want to hold on and just keep going. Oh yeah, that's what we gotta do. Maybe you're here, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You're uncertain, unsure about your coming destiny. Oh, you come and get that stuff today. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Get that cared for. Maybe you got another need. Something that wasn't even preached about. Something heavy on your heart. Oh, you need somebody to pray with you. You need to talk to the Lord about that. Obey the Lord now. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to His leading, to His coming on your heart. You might want to come and say, Lord, help me to be soul conscious like John Harper was. Help me, dear Lord. Be faithful to the end. God, you'll be so glad that you did. Preacher's going to take over the invitation, close things out of these sticks. You will obey the Lord now.
Yeah. All the walkers, come on up.